The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by AIB. We see brave and we're backing it through Brexit.
Well, from Wall Street bubbles bursting to bubbles of a different sort. This time last week, the Oklahoma band, the Flaming Lips, defied the odds with space bubble concerts. The band took to the stage inside giant inflatable balloons, playing to a crowd that was also cocooned in balloons. So could this be the way forward for all of us that are missing gigs and a solution for the entertainment industry in dire straits because of the pandemic? We're joined by Jim Carroll, chairman of the RTE Choice Awards judging panel. Jim, you're very welcome to the programme. Would you fancy attending a concert inside a sort of a little spherical plastic thing?
Good morning, Richard. I certainly would not. It was a very interesting idea. And one thing that we need to bear in mind is that the Flaming Lips historically are a band who have experimented with the live show in terms of different kind of ways of setting up different formats. So this is par for the course. They're a band who've actually toured before with Wayne Coyne, the lead singer, in a bubble, pushing himself into the audience. But in terms of what they did, I mean, it's a very interesting experiment. But the thing about the live music industry and the reason why the live music industry has been so buggered since March 2020 is that basically the music industry is a live side industry is about volume and scale. So, I mean, the Flaming Lips played that concert, I think, to 100 bubbles, which could have contained up to 3 people each. So that's 300 people in a room roughly the size of Vicar Street. So immediately, in terms of kind of like, I mean, your gig income, if you're charging the same amount of money in, your income is way, way down. The other thing about something like that is touring the show as well. And, you know, it's very interesting as a one-off, but I couldn't imagine it happening kind of like for a band like Flaming Lips, who'd be normally going out on the road for 9 to 12 months, to be able to do that and make it financially viable all the way through, unless they were going to charge €1,000 a ticket for their show. And there's also the small practical matter that when it comes to gigs, especially in Ireland as well, gigs are very sociable. So if you're in your bubble with your mate or your two mates, and you suddenly decide you need to go to the bathroom, or another person decides need to go to the bar to get a pint, how does that work as well?
Well, I think there was a certain level of optimism about the return of gigs when we had the first breakthrough with the vaccines before Christmas. In the last few weeks, as we've looked at the problems around the logistics and the delivery, it's certainly looking a lot less optimistic now, isn't it, for 2021?
Absolutely, Richard. I think the realism came in when last year we announced that they were cancelling their this year's festival, and that was a big, I suppose, kind of like setback for a lot of people who were very optimistic about like mean festivals and big shows happening later on in the year. Like for a festival like Glastonbury, which is supposed to be the opening bell for the summer festival season in Europe, for them to decide we're not happening, that kind of like sets an awful lot of things back. An awful lot of acts, especially the American acts, would be coming over to Europe to tour, and Glastonbury would be kind of like the starting point for a leg of summer festivals. And also, I think, as you just kind of pointed out, it's down to the vaccines. It's down to the fact that, like, I mean, one of the things kind of like mean that this virus loves, it loves crowds of people gathering together, and like that's the live music industry. I also think, you know, that this week as well, people saw photographs from Australia and videos from Australia and New Zealand of crowds of up to 20,000 people enjoying a live music event. And I think that they suddenly kind of went like, oh my God, look at what we're missing. Because we need to remember as well that live music industry was very much kind of like the first to close down, and they'll be among the last to come back. And there are thousands of people out there who have been without an income from live music for up to 320 days at this stage.
Well, we have seen, Jim, streaming of gigs and people paying a one-off fee for an online streaming of an event, and particularly for big names and what would have been big concerts. I can see some advantages. You're not queuing at the bar and you're not heading for the port-a-loos, but it's not quite the same thing, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think that 2021 will be a year as well when kind of screen fatigue will mean that an awful lot of people who would have kind of happily sat down with a glass of wine after dinner in the evening and streamed a concert may well be going, you know what, I spend a day looking at basically Dylan from accounts on a Zoom call. I don't want to be looking at another screen. So I think that's going to happen. I also think as well that people are going to have to realise that the quality of those kind of streamed events is going to have to go really up. There were certain events last year that did really well. Lancome at the Abbey Theatre, the other Voices concerts. There was a show that the Fontaines DC did from kind of like mean the RT studios, and the quality of those, the standard of those is very, very high. I think like mean it's
and are they getting the numbers as well? Does it, is yeah. it stacking up or helping financially? Are they getting large purchases of tickets?
Well, that's one thing about the live music industry, Richard. They're very unwilling to give you to kind of pull back the kimono and show you actually what's inside, show you the kind of money. But I think that some of the concerts you kind of hear off the record that they've done okay, but some of them aren't, you know. And this is where I'm supposed to kind of the fact that the government were very fast to kind of come in and give sort of subsidies and grants and money to that sector is very, very useful. In the longer term, I think for most people involved in the live music industry, what they want to do is they want to get back to the way things were, which was basically people buying tickets, going to a venue, and hundreds and thousands of people in the same field or in the same hall enjoying the same act.
It will happen. We just have to keep saying it. Jim Carroll, chairman of the RTE Choice Awards judging panel, thank you very much for joining us on the